rest assured that your PFA is doing its best for you in terms of matching you based on age profile. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's an approximation, but it's a very close approximation because sometimes your risk appetite is not really driven by your age.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Your Pensions, Your Money, Your Future, where we discuss all things pensions. And today I've got an interesting guest who will be talking about an interesting concept in Nigeria's pension industry, the multi-fund structure. Today I've got with me Abimbola Suleiman, the Executive Director, ARM Pensions. Hello, Abimbola.
Hello, Guche. Hello, everyone. Happy to be here.
Big question. Who needs a pension plan today? Only government workers? Or people that work in the corporate sector? Nah. Tolu the event planner. Chioma the Instagram we can deliver anywhere in Nigeria. Salisu, the we are not just roadside mechanics. And indeed, all those who work for businesses with less than 3 people can now join the micro pension plan to conveniently save for the kind of future they want. Visit a pension fund administrator of your choice or their agent today to sign up for a micro pension plan and also enjoy additional benefits. This message is brought to you by the National Pension Commission, PENCOM, and the Pension Fund Operators Association of Nigeria, PENOP.
Before we get into the technical stuff, Bimbo is fairly technical. Let's just tone it down a bit and let me just find out fun fact about Bimbo. Bimbo, tell us a fun fact about you.
I'm not very technical. I'm technical at work, but outside of work, I'm not technical at all. I like Fuji music, believe it or not. And I love to read. Unfortunately, I don't read like educative. I read junk. I love to read junk, like Marie Claire magazine. I like to read period history. I haven't done much reading recently, but I'm still keeping up with like buying a book every month. That's the goal. I'm maybe 18 months behind, but I'll get there, you know, eventually.
Bimbo, let's talk about multi-fund structure. Interesting concepts. Many people, myself included, I always thought that when you send your pensions to your PFA, that it goes into one pot, it goes into one fund. But nothing could be further from the truth. Tell us about the multi-fund.
Yeah, so what you think, that was the case from the inception of the Pension Reform Act up until 2018. Mm-hmm. What we had in the past was just two savings accounts, one for active people who are still working, mm-hmm. and then one for retirees. As the scheme has grown, the multi-fund structure came into play in 2018. And what it does is to split that active portion. So for those of us who are still in the workforce, and think about it, this is people from the age of, say, 18, mm-hmm. all the way to perhaps 60, is to try to split that population right now into four, so that we are properly tailoring the investment product to the needs of the saver. Mm-hmm. So since the inception of the multi-fund structure, we now have a system where largely by age, but also by risk appetite, we have split the active fund, that is the fund for the people who are still working, into three different portfolios reflecting three different risk appetites. And what do I mean by that? You know, for those who have just started their career, their focus is capital appreciation. Mm-hmm. How do I grow my savings such that I have enough to live on when I retire? For those who are close to retirement, the focus is capital preservation. You are 2 or 3 or 4 years to retirement. What you are trying to do is to preserve what you have accumulated and make sure that it is available for you when you stop working. So today, for anyone who is active in the workforce, mm-hmm. the pension savings are managed in three separate accounts. Ideally, you should make a choice for which account your fund will be in. However, because of the point you made, a lot of people are not aware there are default options, mm-hmm. if you have not made a choice. So these funds are RSA Fund 1, which is the most risky, or the riskiest, I suppose, mm-hmm. for the youngest segment of the active population. RSA Fund 2, yeah. which is the more balanced one, which is the default fund for majority of pension savers.
Yeah.
And then you have RSA Fund 3, which is the least risky, the closest to retirement fund. It is more of an income type fund, and the focus there is capital preservation. So if you are working and your fund comes to us, it's not all in one pot. It will either be in the pot you selected based on your risk appetite, or in the default fund that we select for you based on criteria from the National Pension Commission, which is our regulator.
All right, so based on what you said, in broad terms, people can actually choose how their pension funds are invested.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I get people all the time saying, well, I can invest my pensions myself. I want to determine where my pensions are invested. So essentially, they actually can determine how their pensions are invested to an extent.
So you are making a choice of the type of fund and of your risk tolerance. You're not making a choice of here's exactly what I want to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're making a choice really between a high risk fund, a balanced fund, mm-hmm. and an income fund. When you make that choice, the underlying investment to meet that criteria is still made by your PFA. Okay. So the job of the pension saver, the responsibility of the pension saver, is to clearly communicate their risk appetite and select a fund that best matches that risk appetite. The day-to-day investment of the fund is still the responsibility of the PFA.
Great. So why do you think many people have not taken up that option? Is it either an education or is it apathy? Why do you think, in your view?
I think we are in a country with a very young population.
Mm-hmm.
The workforce is really young as well. And for many young people, there is a lot on their minds. The pension seems to be a faraway concept.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we see very high level of engagement and of choice amongst the older, and when I say older, people who are closer to retirement, because as you get closer to retirement, you start the pension becomes front of mind,
mm-hmm.
top of mind. So when you look at the people who are 40, 45, 50, get into that age, they are aware and they're making choices. For younger people, it's not a surprise. You're busy getting married, getting degrees, trying to buy a house, trying to buy a car, and you feel like I'll get to the pension when I get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not too worrisome and not too concerning. And the regulator, the National Pension Commission, has done a great job to set out procedures to manage these funds for those segments of the population. So if you have not come to select a fund at your PFA, rest assured that your PFA is doing its best for you in terms of matching you based on age profile.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's an approximation, but it's a very close approximation because sometimes your risk appetite is not really driven by your age.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it is. So we will use PENCOM's set criteria to select a fund for you if you don't come. But for all those who are not engaged in the process right now, they will get to the point and get to the age where they become engaged. And before that time comes, we will be taking care of their savings on their behalf.
Yes, I like that. You'll be taking care of their savings on their behalf. So please be rest assured.
Yeah.
So you said Fund 1 is riskier.
Yes.
What would you say to a young person who says, I don't want to invest in Fund 1, it's riskier? What would you say to them?
Yeah.
Someone who is 21, 23, 24.
Yeah. So, risk is not a bad thing and risk is not a negative word.
Mm-hmm.
Our job in investments is to take risk. So nobody's running away from risk. It is that what is the appropriate level of risk for what you're trying to do? And that is that risk properly priced. So when you hear that it's a risky fund, that's not danger signs. Everything we're doing is really, even in the world of investment, broad world of investment, pension is already in the very low risk segment of the investment world.
Mm-hmm.
So within that low risk segment, you then have the high risk moderate. So what we are calling high risk in Fund 1 is still, if you think about it broadly, not a risky. This is not gambling.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, what we are doing. They're very, what we call high risk in the pension world, that's what they call balanced fund outside of the pension industry.
Mm-hmm.
You still have funds that are aggressive funds.
Yeah.
We don't do any investments that are aggressive. The nature of what we do is not to take
as
pension fund managers, it's not to take aggressive risk. So the RSA Fund 1 It takes more risk than a typical pension fund. Mm-hmm. However, I will not call it a risky investment product.
Yeah.
More than half of those assets are still in federal government bonds. So that already tells you what we are doing. It is that those funds allow a longer time period for you to realize value. So if I'm in a retiree fund, I don't want to make an investment that will promise to pay off in 15 or 20 years time. You know, I'm about
because
to retire.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if I'm 22 and I find a good investment product and I think that it will pay me well over the next 20 years, then it makes sense, mm-hmm. right? So that's all. Risk is not just about the risk of losing your assets. Risk is time.
Yeah.
Risk is volatility. Risk is, you know, I don't want Okuche to accuse me of being technical. Risk is asymmetric payoff. What do I mean by asymmetric payoff? The comparing the potential upside mm-hmm. to the potential downside,
yeah.
right? So when we say it takes more risk, it's, you know, they're typically funds that have a bit more volatility, a bit more time,
yeah.
gestation period to realize value, and a bit more downside potential than your typical retiree fund. So I don't want anyone to hear that RSA Fund 1 is risky and therefore they run away and be scared. No, this is risk that is well thought out, well calibrated, well
managed.
In simple terms,
Bimo, what you're saying is that, you know, so Fund 1, which is the riskier, is typically for people who are younger. And the reason is because it might take a longer time for the returns to come.
Absolutely.
Take us through the concept of the higher the risk, the higher the potential return. And for people to begin to think about, you know, when I'm young, I'm able to take that risk because I still have more time. Take us through the concept of that.
So, I mean, if I break it down to the simplest terms, mm-hmm. imagine I'm starting a business today and I approach you to invest in my business. I could tell you, look, can you give me 1 million naira capital and I'll pay you back over 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
No questions asked. Maybe I might pay you back 1.1 for you, you know, to have given me your money, but I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
Guaranteed, whether my business works or not. That is a typical low risk investment. It's not no risk. And I think it's important to make this point that even when we say high risk, low risk, there's no such thing as no risk.
So all right? investments carry
because
a form of risk.
Because you still have this risk that I might run away or mm-hmm. I might not do what I said I would do.
Mm-hmm.
But let's assume that I am credit worthy and I'm a good person, which I am. You know, so you give me this 1 million, I pay you back 1.1 million after a year. That's a typical low risk investment. You know upfront what you're going to get back. You know when you are going to get it back. In that example, a high risk investment will become, let us do this business together.
Mm-hmm.
Bring 1 million, I'll bring 1 million, and then we'll share the profits.
Yeah.
In that scenario, we might start this business with 2 million naira and make 10 million profit. If we do make 10 million profit, you get 5 million, I get 5 million.
Yeah.
That's a typical high risk investment. Why is it high risk? You bring your 1 million, you don't know what you're going to get back. You don't know when you're going to get it back. There is a potential that you might get 5 million and you'll be much better off mm-hmm. than the person that agreed to give me 1 million and collect 10%
yeah.
after 1 year. But you could really be worse off. You know, you could bring your 1 million, I bring my 1 million and everything goes to zero because something went wrong. That is the concept of the higher the risk, the higher the return. For you accepting that risk of not knowing upfront what your profit will be,
mm-hmm.
the potential return truly is higher. However, the variability of those returns also higher. It could be 5 million, it could be 4, it could be 3, it could be -2,
yeah.
right? But what they teach us in Finance 101 is that if you have done your work properly, because if I say, bring 1 million, let's do one business together.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you ask me, what is the business? Have you found a location? Are you sure people want to buy this product? So if you have done that due diligence and checked all the boxes, in theory, if you invest in a good business
mm-hmm.
and you take the risk of uncertainty of returns, the probability that your return will end up being higher is high. compared to you saying, you know, I don't want wahala, just give me 10%. If you lose all the money, I'm not going to have a part of that. Even if the business should double or triple in value, don't worry, keep it, just give me my own 10%. That's your typical low risk investment. And that is the difference truly in the type of investments we make between RSA Fund 1 all the way down to RSA Fund 5 or Fund 4 rather, which is for retirees.
Okay. So, it's riskier.
You can see I'm not so technical, right? I'm sure everybody can understand what I just said.
Big question. Who needs a pension plan today? Only government workers? Or people that work in the corporate sector? Nah. Tolu the event planner. Chioma the Instagram we can deliver anywhere in Nigeria. Salisu. We are not just roadside mechanics. And indeed, all those who work for businesses with less than 3 people can now join the micro pension plan to conveniently save for the kind of future they want. Visit a pension fund administrator of your choice or their agent today to sign up for a micro pension plan and also enjoy additional benefits. This message is brought to you by the National Pension Commission, PENCOM, and the Pension Fund Operators Association of Nigeria, PENOP.
Okay, so what you were just explaining was really variable income investments and fixed income investments. So it's fixed in the first instance of 1 million, where you give someone money and after 1 year, the person gives you 1.1 million. Mm-hmm. So it's fixed and the risk is lower. Mm-hmm. But it's variable when, you know, you are not too sure. Explain a bit more about what type of investments qualify as variable income investments.
Okay, so the simplest example of variable income investment is the type of example that I just made, which is equity type investments. What do you call equity? Equity is when you actually take a stake in the business. You are not lending to the business, you are paying a share of that business. Whether that is in public equities, like we all know, buying shares in GTB, buying shares in, you know, UAC and all these blue chip companies that we know, or private equity, which is exactly buying shares in company as well, in companies, but these companies are not publicly traded on the stock exchange like we know. Mm-hmm. So you could have Mr. A and Sons and buy 20% of that business. That is equity type investing. Outside of equity, whatever type of investment that you are making that does not have a fixed return over a fixed time frame is a variable return instrument, because it is
That carries a bit more risk.
Exactly. It is the fact that the quantity, the magnitude of the return varies, the timing of the returns vary, and that's why they're called variable income instruments. They're variable in magnitude and in timing. So any investment you make where I know I'm going to get 10% in 2 months, or I know I'm going to get, those are fixed income instruments. There are things that sit on that line. If you're following me and you're being thoughtful, you think of examples, for instance, like real estate. Mm-hmm. If I buy real estate, is that a fixed income instrument investment or a variable income investment? If I buy that real estate and I rent it out and I'm getting rent of 5 million naira per year, is that fixed
if the tenant is going to pay?
Yeah, but even if the tenant is going to pay, is it really fixed?
Well, I guess it's debatable. It's fixed in the sense that if you fix the price, but then you can also vary.
Because when you buy real estate, you're not buying it just for the rent. Like, the property is yours. Mm-hmm. So the value of that property is not fixed. The value of the rent you are getting is fixed, but the value of the property is not fixed. So it's not truly a fixed return investment because you own the asset.
Yeah.
So your rent is coming, but the price of the house is up and down depending.
It could double. The value of the house could double over time, but it could also be stagnant as well, which is where the risk comes.
Absolutely. So even real estate is a variable return investment. Mm-hmm. Even you get a fixed component of income, but the asset itself varies in value and therefore it becomes variable. And that's how you would think about normal equities as well. If you buy shares, you get a fixed dividend stream many times, right? So GTB is paying 2 naira dividend every year. We're not going to call it fixed income because it's paying 2 naira income every year, because the value of the share itself comes and goes. So your total return is the income you are getting, but also the change in the value of what you hold. So those things will also be considered variable return because it's not fixed. Whereas in a loan, the example I gave you before, if I lend you 1 million at 10%, I'm getting my 1 million back and I'm getting the 10%. It is truly fixed in all the sense of the word, because mm-hmm. your capital is fixed, your income is fixed, the timing of the income is also fixed. So that's how you differentiate between variable income instruments and fixed income instruments.
Great. Okay, let's go into fund four, fund five, fund six. You spoke about fund one, fund two, fund three, which are for the active guys,
yes.
those that are still working.
Yeah.
Take us through fund four, fund five, and fund six.
Absolutely.
What are they about and what is their structure?
Beautiful. So I was talking about RSA Active and RSA Retiree. These were the funds we had before 2018. When the multi-fund structure came in place, RSA Active was split into RSA 1, 2, 3, which we have described extensively. So what we call RSA 4 today was the old RSA Retiree Fund. Nothing has changed with that fund. It just has a new name, RSA Fund 4. This is the fund we manage for people that are already in retirement. Not retiring soon, but already in retirement and getting paid a monthly pension. So as you can imagine, the focus for that fund is preservation of value and generation of income. So automatically, your pension savings will be transferred into RSA Fund 4 when you retire, if you opt for a program withdrawal pension.
In that case, you don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice once you are retired. RSA Fund 5 is a new fund that was created for employees who are outside of the formal employment sector. You know that, you know, the pension savings we manage, these monies come from your employer directly to us. You as an individual cannot come to a PFA to buy RSA Fund 1, 2, or 3. It must come from your employer's payroll. So for individuals who are not in full-time employment, if you are self-employed or if you are working in the informal sector, you might want to create a pension savings account for yourself, and the default fund for those categories of savers, or for that category of savers, is the RSA Fund 5. It is designed for people that are self-employed or in informal sector or generally just not in formal employment. The fund has, it's a balanced fund as well. It has a mix of fixed and variable income investments. The rules surrounding that product are different, and therefore the way we manage the fund is different. And I would say the only critical difference is that, unlike the traditional pension fund, the RSA Fund 5, for people who are willingly saving for retirement, needs a bit more liquidity in its management because people are allowed to come and take their money back. But if you are self-employed, who determines when you are retired, right? So if you're self-employed and saving for yourself, there are rules that allow you to access those savings. You know, the same way you did it voluntarily, you could also opt out voluntarily. So that is the critical difference in RSA Fund 5. RSA Fund 6 is the Sharia compliant fund. There are rules that govern Islamic finance and Sharia compliant investing. And there are individuals in our scheme, so people who are working either in formal employment or in informal employment, who want to invest based on Islamic finance principles. Those individuals have the option to select RSA Fund 6. That fund is managed according to Islamic finance principles, i.e. the funds are Sharia compliant. So RSA Fund 6 is divided into RSA Fund 6 Active and RSA Fund 6 Retiree, because you could be retired and want a Sharia compliant fund, or you could be working and want a Sharia compliant fund. So this fund is completely optional. If you are following me, you can tell that RSA Fund 5 is optional, RSA Fund 6 is optional as well, whether it is active or retiree.
Interesting. I mean, this has been a very interesting conversation. One of the key things that I've gotten, and I actually want people to get, is that you can determine to an extent how your pensions are invested, and you can decide which buckets. For instance, if you want your pensions managed in a Sharia compliant manner, you can reach out to your PFA and tell them to invest in Fund 6. If you think you want to take more risk and you're within the age bracket, you can tell your PFA to invest in Fund 1. So how does someone go about it? Someone has listened to us now and says, I didn't know, I actually want to get to Fund 3 or Fund 6 or Fund 1. What do they do? What do they need to do?
Call your PFA, and I know, you know, all the PFAs are just a phone call away. You can reach out to them via their social media handles. You can go to any of their offices. I believe all PFAs have branches nationwide, every state. Go to their website and find their number or find an email address. I think many PFAs also have their mobile apps where you can do many of these things by self-service. So determine who your PFA is, reach out to them to say, you know, I have a choice to make. And this process can be very simple, seamless. I did it once. I switched from RSA Fund 2 to Fund 6. It took about 3 days from me filling the form, submitting it, everything getting done. It's a very simple process.
Yeah, you touched on something. Can you switch back, for instance, if you've switched and you say, oh, I'm not too happy, can you switch back within the same PFA?
Yes,
you can. So there's actually a choice because many people think, you know, I have to leave my PFA in order to get a different type of return. But within your PFA, you can switch to four different funds at least.
You can switch across funds and you can switch back. Mm-hmm. If you have made the switch and your circumstances change, you can switch back as well.
Great. I'm so excited about this because it means that there's choice and we need to look at our pensions as something active, not something that we start when we start working and we access when we end. In the life of our work life, we can do a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. So Bimbo, any final words on multi-fund structure or pensions in general?
I mean, I would just encourage people to pay attention to their pensions. It might seem very far away, especially young people. You know, have a look at it. It doesn't have to be something you do every day, but having a robust financial plan is important for anybody, whether you're 18 or 60. And if your pension savings are a critical slice of your total assets, then please pay attention to it. Go through that statement once or twice a year. Make sure that things are going according to plan. See if you need to be saving more. I think almost all PFAs offer financial planning advice. So you can see, for instance, if you need to be making voluntary contributions, it's good to know, to plan, to look at what your balance is, how it's growing, how you're faring, what your options are. I would just say, please keep an eye on it. It's an asset like any other asset. You know, if you own a house somewhere, if you own a car somewhere, if you own shares somewhere, you would not completely ignore it. You would not sleep and wake up thinking about it every day, but you would also not ignore it completely. So please engage with your PFA, pay attention to your savings, and keep an eye on it as you would keep an eye on anything you have that is of value.
Big question: who needs a pension plan today? Only government workers or people that work in the corporate sector? Nah, Tolu the event planner. Chioma the Instagram we can deliver anywhere in Nigeria. Salisu, we are not just roadside mechanics. And indeed, all those who work for businesses with less than 3 people can now join the micro pension plan to conveniently save for the kind of future they want. Visit a pension fund administrator of your choice or their agent today to sign up for a micro pension plan and also enjoy additional benefits. This message is brought to you by the National Pension Commission, PENCOM, and the Pension Fund Operators Association of Nigeria, PENOP.
And on final notes, just like to say, keep an eye on your investments, keep an eye on your pensions, as you will keep an eye on anything of value. And we hope you're able to get as much value from this session and look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you and have a nice day. Thank you, Bimbo.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Great stuff.